Can you give me some examples of formulating the how long from some of the text we've talked about over the course of the podcast?
Which text are we? We talked about hospitality, okay?
Okay, yeah, let's take that one.
I would say that the first time you invite someone over who is, say, underprivileged in one way or another, it's very possible that's not going to be a good experience, because you found that when they came over to your house, they were leery. You didn't know what kind of questions to answer. There were long times in the conversation where nobody knew what to say. You know, the people didn't thank you necessarily when they left. So when it was all over, you think, I don't know if I want to do that again or not. So somewhere along the way, you began to say, I think I can do better. I think I can learn how to ask questions. So-and-so does this so well. I had a conversation with them, and they gave me these suggestions. And so the whole idea of reaching out to those in hospitality who can't invite you back, probably that's going to take a period. We're talking years again. So it doesn't mean you can preach a whole series of years on hospitality to the poor and the powerless, but it does mean when you preach that series, you say to people, don't expect to become an expert overnight. In fact, your first time, you may go out of your way and feel very unappreciated, but don't quit after that. I mean, Jesus had many people he healed who probably never said thank you, but he didn't say, okay, I've had it with those turkeys. You know, I've learned that over a period of time, you could give them everything you have and they still aren't satisfied. So I'm just going to quit doing that. That's not how Jesus was. Jesus kept at it because that was who he was. And, you know, so I want you to be like Jesus and stick with it. So you're giving a realistic understanding time-wise of what's being said.
How about answering the how long question for the freedom passage we talked about in Galatians or the end times of Revelation? How would that come together?
Okay, I got to go back to Galatians, and in my brain, computer-wise, say Revelation. Computer-wise, says that Galatians is about responsible freedom, which is a wonderful thing. I mean, I'd far rather live my life, which I think I, in essence, do with a spirit of responsible freedom, as opposed to a list of all the do's and don'ts that cover every aspect of life. Right? We agree. Okay. Now, responsible freedom. That means I learn that by being attuned to the Holy Spirit. That's what the how-to is in that. Keep in step with the Spirit. It's like you're in the marching Spirit band and you're not out of step. So I have to learn how to walk with the Spirit, stay in tune with the Spirit. So I would say that probably would take, I would think, because I've failed a lot in terms of that. I find that there are times when I don't want to be in step with the Spirit. I would rather do what I want to do. Or there are times when I'm doing real well and then something goes wrong in my life and somehow I fall out of step again. You know, I would think that probably would take, you're talking a half a year for people to get used to that. It doesn't take a half a year to preach through Revelation. But Galatians.
Right.
Thank you. But I would say you could teach Galatians, but then if you're a good minister, you might want to go back after 3 months and review, and then go back and review just to keep where people are so you're still with them. In fact, I would say probably I would also, as a pastor, want to have testimony from somebody and saying when Pastor preached the series on Galatians about responsible freedom and suggested such and such, I've been putting that in my life into practice, and I'm not all the way down the road yet, but I've come a long way. And here are things I've learned. So you get testimony, which helps the whole process of where the congregation is. And even if you have one person who gives testimony, who has really done well, that does wonders for a congregation. Because in most congregations, nobody knows where anybody is spiritually speaking. The only way you pick this up is if it's in private conversation somewhere. But a testimony in a service where somebody can give reference to something that was preached and now is a part of their life, that's just like, wow-wee, somebody is listening. And it encourages not only the people but the pastor as well.
How about Revelation?
Revelation is a tough one because in Revelation is yet future. We may be in the end times, but if we are, we're in the very beginning of the end times. The big thing about Revelation in my mind is how do you prepare for what is inevitable? And that's a huge topic, and I'm not sure that I've handled it well just in us talking here, but it's basically saying There may come days that are very difficult, that if you think you're never going to have to face those, they're going to take you by surprise. I see myself in a position where I think I'm prepared. In fact, one of the big things in Revelation is, though Jesus is going to be victorious, there will be many, many martyrs. So part of what Revelation did for me was to resolve the whole issue of martyrdom in my life. And if the end times were to unfold and I have to live through those, I don't think I'm going to try and run and hide. I would prefer to be one of the martyrs. There are real advantages to that, according to Revelation, which I'm not going into right now. But I've resolved that for myself. I'm happy. I don't like the idea if they want to pull out my fingernails. You know, that's not real attractive to me. But if they want to chop off my head and say, either say I deny Jesus or we'll chop your head off, I say, take the head. You know, I'm an old man. I'm ready to go. But really what I'm more interested in is my kids and my grandchildren and helping them understand what is to come and what may someday be their inheritance as far as the world is concerned. So I'm working on that part of what Revelation is teaching me, to say I'm preparing the coming generations for where that's going to go. And I've been working at that. That help you?
Yeah, that's very helpful. Is it such it's always going to take longer for people to respond to a given challenge than most ministers believe?
That's a given. Yeah, that's a given.
Always going to take longer.
You may not think so, but when you talk to them, it's like you're not dealing with a whole congregation of rabbits. You're dealing with tortoises when it comes to changing spiritually. The lifestyle of Jesus, I mean, it's very radical compared to our lifestyle. You know, where he didn't have a home. He basically, what's mine is yours, and the incredible love he demonstrated for people. You know, at the same time, he had it with the supposedly religious people. He was pretty abrupt with them. But, it takes a lot longer. In fact, I way to answer that, Dean. Did you improve as a Christian as fast as you thought you would, or did it take you a lot longer to get to where you are than you had assumed originally?
Well, the obvious answer to that is it's taken a lifetime, and I'm still not there, and I'm sure that you would say the same about yourself.
That's right.
There's no question, though, that consistent teaching, consistent preaching has a very crucial role. In my own life, at a point many years ago, I prayed and asked God to please bring someone into my life that could be a spiritual mentor who had integrity. And I had been in a setting where I had a lot of so-called spiritual leaders come through my life, but they lacked integrity. I wanted someone of integrity and who was actually living what they were saying. God was gracious and brought someone into my life, and that was a big turning point for me. That set me on a pathway that I've been following for many, many years, well over 30 years, in fact. I'm nowhere near where I need to be in my obedience, but I'm a lot further than I think I would have been if I had not prayed and if God had not answered that prayer.
Yeah.
So we have four questions: subject, response, how to, and how long. It's obvious they're not always easy to answer. I'm going to be a little lazy in my sermon preparation this week. I'm going to skip one or two. Am I on the road to success?
Come on, Dean.
Rhetorical question.
Go to the back of the class. I think if you don't have the answers to all of them, they may not all come at the same time or quickly. I mean, you may get the subject very quickly and the response and struggle with how to, and you get the how long figured out. But until you have the answer all four of those, don't do that much work on your sermon. Because once you have those four answers, you've done all the hard work. You know, at that point, it should come together relatively easily. But no, don't skip any of them. I would say every time I have skipped, and I've never do that lately, it puts me down the wrong road. And I find I have to turn around and come back again and go back to those questions.
Where are we going next?
Let's talk about taking those questions and trying to get them into a sermon. Because I've found that I can get the answer to all four of those questions with certain people, and then they're totally befuddled as to what to do, and they go back to the old habits. And so we'll try to say, okay, let's see how we fit those into a sermon.
Very good. We invite you to come back and join us on the next podcast. We're bringing you the Sermon Coach podcast from sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. Dr. David Maines, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time.